This is Uncle Monster, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chess, and today we have an episode about audio drama for you. With me, as always...
Hi, I'll be playing the part of Tech.
And some guests we have. No, it's not Jen and Jason, but we do have Jay...
Thank you, Nutty. Well, good to be here.
That's Jay Langens, the man of a thousand voices. You may also know him from Masterpiece Audio Theater, where he's having you currently guest Buffy episodes.
And then from the East Coast.
Yep, from the East Coast.
He's not the man of a thousand voices.
No.
He's not the man of 100 voices. He's the man of one voice, but oh my gosh, what a voice. It's the audio chocolate himself, Mark the Encaffeinated One.
I'll be playing the part of Jason today. I don't know if I can do that. I have to talk about meat, right?
Anime.
Not an anime, right. Animated meat. Wait, I don't think this has gone well.
So welcome.
How are we doing, folks?
We're doing warmly. That's how we're doing. So this is the all-Canadian podcast, or at least the, mostly Canadian? I mean, we're all in Canada right now, which is kind of wild.
Hooray!
Yay! And possession is 9/10. Did I get the math right?
This is a new math, right? Yeah, sure. Just square that and add some sort of fake number to it. You'd be fine.
But we're going to talk about audio drama, which is near and dear to many of our hearts. It's actually how the Encaffeinated One and I got pretty close, how we became friends, because we started on Buffy Between the Lines together.
Yeah, and like 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
It was amazing.
Like back in the dark ages of podcasting.
Many moons ago.
Yes.
When I was a child.
There were no cameras. That's why it was dark.
Podcasts were actually distributed on wax cylinders.
They went from town to town being repeated by bards. It was a really slow form. RSS stood for really stupid shoes. I don't know why, but they just liked it.
It was fashionable.
It's fashionable.
You know, just like wearing onions on your belts, you know.
Trying to get my podcast nationally distributed killed 78 bards that winter. It's a tough season.
But, and audio drama is pretty important to somebody who has 1,000 voices, I'm assuming. So
oh, yeah.
I'd like to go into just a little bit of history with audio drama. Like, can each of you tell me when did you first start listening to audio drama? When did you start as a consumer of audio drama?
So I'll begin kid, and I think they still do it now, with the national broadcaster here, CBC Radio, has a Halloween tradition where they would play War of the Worlds. And when I was, before I would go trick-or-treating, I would listen to the War of the Worlds. I remember one in particular that they had done something a little different, that they had all of the cast together in the room together, and they had like ensemble mics for everybody, and then they had microphones in the, I guess, at the front of the room where they had like the main characters. And as it was your turn to speak, you would go up to the main mic, and then if you weren't actively involved in the scene, you would go back to the ensemble mic, and all of the foley, all of the sound effects of the guns, of the spaceships, of everything was being done by the people in the ensemble. So they were all doing sound effects, you know, with their mouths and singing. So it was super, super cool. It was a really awesome version of the War of the Worlds. And then I think they still do it. I think it's Saturdays. Anyway, CBC Radio always puts on like parts of audio plays and audio dramas, and I would listen to those. And then, well, I married a podcaster, and well, we all know what happens then. So I fell further and further into the hole from there.
Deep into the podcast hole.
CBC has had such a legendary history with audio drama, and it's kind of sad that it really has gone down, like just been completely defunded, basically, in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. There's so many great shows that used to be on CBC that were all just these wonderful Canadian stories as well as just weird stories. I remember, what was it? Bob Bovin, I think, was on Saturday nights. He had the audio drama theater show there. And it was just this weird collection of stuff there. But that's not the oldest one I remember. I mean, there was a lot of them there. I thought I was going to say Monty Python, because when I went to a nearby library, I took out the final ripoff, which was their 4-cassette compilation of skits, some of which they had redone for this recording. And they were a lot of fun. I thought I was going to say that, but then I remembered, no, I had been traveling in the States one time and stopped at a Cracker Barrel, and they had a spinny rack full of old time drama. So I got to hear all kinds of shows like Suspense and I forget the other name. Suspense always stands out in my mind. I thought I was going to say that, but I'm not. What I'm actually going to say is when I was probably 12, I remember staying up late night. It was CBC, but it was Royal Canadian Air Farce was on the radio.
Oh, wow.
In its original form. And it's funny because when they made the transition to TV, I kind of could just turn the TV off and just listen to them because some of the same actors are still there. And it was just hilarious and silly and stupid and wonderful. And I didn't really think of it as audio drama. I don't think anybody really thought in that term. That's sort of the modern term for it. But and it was a long time before I actually got to listen to sort of modernly created one. That would be the CBC one. And then with the wealth that's on the internet right now, getting a chance to listen to old and new shows. Although I haven't listened to as much recently as I would like. It feels like I got a little distant from it, mostly because there was other forms of audio storytelling I was listening to. But yeah, I think it was Royal Canadian Air Force back. That would be back in the, I got to say the '80s, I think actually is when I would have first run across that.
I know they've got an archives show. I think it's on the weekends where they go into the depths of their archives and they pull out like an old broadcast or an old, audio drama or something, and they blow the dust off it and hit play. I know we've talked about this before. I just can never remember what it's called, but there was a really funny comedy about the American Senator Joe McCarthy being judged in purgatory. Yes.
And I think it's McCarthy in hell.
Yeah, McCarthy in hell, but they never say the word heaven or hell. They're very ambiguous about it. And it's always, are you going to stay up here or go down there? And it was so funny.
That's a classic for sure. Yeah. There's a video out there, and I haven't seen it for years, but there's a video showing what the CBC audio drama studio looks like.
Okay.
And first of all, it's remarkably like a room, but also here's the bank of doors that we have. Here's the bank of latches and all the Foley sounds and stuff like that.
Ah, cool.
It's right there in the room. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Right on.
So, Jay, tell us about your experience.
So my family, at Christmas time, we have, pull the name out of the hat kind of thing. And, when I was, I think 7 or 8 years old, my uncle and aunt gave me a 5-cassette tape set. And on one side was like The Shadow and the other side was Green Hornet. And then it had, Duffy's Tavern. And on the other side was, I think Sherlock Holmes, and there was Suspense in there and all those kinds of things. So this 3 Skeleton Key. Anyway, so I fell in love with those. And like at that time, you didn't have music to download, right? So I'd have it in my Walkman and I would fall asleep to listening to those and knew them word for word. By the time I was including War of the Worlds.
Which version of 3 Skeleton Key do you remember? Because there's a Vincent Price version out there, and then there's a non-Vincent Price version.
It's the Vincent Price one.
It was weird that they'd redone that one, but I guess if it's Vincent Price, they're going to redo anything.
Yeah. I was tempted to redo it, to be honest. I thought I was looking at it and I was like, oh, well, I could do like Tom Leiter for one of the characters and I could.
It's 4 Skeleton Key. It's the neighbor exactly. Beside the lighthouse.
But I don't do Foley. So, you know, doing the sound effects to it would be challenging. But anyway, that's what started me into audio dramas was old radio shows. And, later on finding out that, at like, I think it was midnight or 1 a.m., they had channel, AM radio station here and it would play old radio shows. And I would set up the 2 tape recording cassettes and I would record 2 hours of radio shows. And then I'd listen to those on my way to school on the bus and that sort of thing. So I love those. And what got me into audio dramas, and the new ones are even better, you know, like the podcast ones, the ones Julie does and, you know, those kinds of things that just keep listening and getting better content.
And Julie's podcast is 19 Nocturne Boulevard, which has been around forever. And
yeah,
there's a new one I did the logo for. I can't remember the name. I'm terrible. so
a new show.
It's a network for audio dramas. Oh. Yeah. So my experience is very similar. I had some vinyls that I would play on my Fisher-Price record player and listen to as I went to bed. Some cassette tapes that I copied after borrowing them from the library, early days of pirating. and I found I had a shortwave radio. And with that shortwave radio, I was able to tune into stations all over the world. And that was amazing to me because it meant I got to listen to all of these audio dramas being produced that were being put out over the air. And so I was listening to The Shadow. I could recite all of those, Pert Rewinds, Sherlock Holmes, Adventures of Sherlock Holmes for you. I have so many, memories of, you know, even the Aldrich Gang and early, was it Leave It to Beaver or one of those others? There were a lot of Jack Benny shows, a lot of these, audio dramas that then went on to become television shows. And I loved that feeling of it. So when the internet came out and audio started being something that could be shared around online in like the late 90s, early 2000s, I started finding, internet radio stations that had audio drama. And it's weird. There was this one station that would always play this, this weird comedy thing called Wasted Tape, which is really funny. Because years later, I would meet the creator and not know it was the same person until after we had known each other for a few years and I was at his house and saw he got an award for Wasted Tape.
Wasted Tape.
Wasted Tape. And that was one of NCAF's early radio shows. And it was out there online and I was listening to it when I was working at a magic marker company, doing art for a magic marker company. I remember, and it was just like, it would come up in between all of these crazy things. And when podcasting first came out, that's when I heard like X-1 and all of these old radio dramas, because there was that one podcast that played all the old radio dramas, and then there was the Sonic Society, and I really got into it, audio drama, and started participating as much as I could. So that's my journey.
Imagine my surprise many moons later when I'm the technical director of this little pokey community radio station up there in New Brunswick, and we had found a stack of old reels of old, like, audio tape on reels, and we dusted off the machine, got the thing working, started listening to it, and we found really old comedy stuff and really old bits that people had recorded, I think back in the 70s.
Yeah.
I think that the stuff that had never been used, and it was amazing to listen to that, to that also. Some of it was quite funny. We ended up, one of the tapes was just a guy doing, I don't know if you remember this, Mark. It was just a guy doing sound effects, these really weird noises.
I don't think I heard that one.
It was just these weird mouth noises and Cabot and I just couldn't stop laughing. It was,
are you
so
sure it
silly.
Wasn't Andy?
No, it was Cabot and I. And he ended up recording them. He was going to do something with it on his show because it was just so good. It was such a weird recording we'd found just, you know, stashed in the archives there.
Oh, I remember when you guys found it was old, Star Trek audio drama and all of the voices were done by Jimmy Doohan. Like all of the voices.
No, it was an album.
It was a whole album.
Yeah.
And
well, that probably went along, I think, wasn't it, with an illustrated book or something like that?
Yeah,
it was the dialogue to go along.
Yeah.
Read along with Jimmy Doohan or something.
Oh. But, and that's what, that, I think that's what I love about the audio world is that, you know, a book happens entirely between your ears, but so does audio drama. And that's the fun is that, with a properly placed sound effect or just by changing your voice, you can paint a picture and you can paint an incredibly evocative picture. And this is a really stupid joke. It's a really stupid skit, but I always keep it close to my heart. I heard it on the radio many, 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 many years ago that on this like comedy skit show, they would do a skit called The Radio Stuntman. And the idea is that this stuntman was going to perform this incredibly complex and weird bit, which of course you can't see because it's on the radio. So when they're describing that, you know, the radio stuntman on his roller skates is going to do two loop-de-loops through fire and then jump over the pit of knives and into the shark's mouth and come out the other end, and all while wearing an 11-pound beard of bees. And they're like adding the sound effects in the back, and then you hear the guy playing the radio stuntman go, "No, man, can I just once do this without wearing the beard of bees?"
And I've loved that skit so much. It's so dumb.
But it's awesome.
They used to do something like that. I mean, A Prairie Home Companion, one of the last shows that I had experienced, not directly, but it had a live Foley guy on the staff, and they did a lot of little audio drama bits in the show. Mm-hmm. And there's a movie version, which is a fictionalized version of the show, which is also a fiction, which is weird. But anyway, where you actually get to see the actual people who do the sound effects and the sound effects board and table that he has there. You know, everything from the shoes that he uses to get the footprints to his mock box of doors and locks and things like that. And I haven't seen it here. Locally, they've done, the Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie. I'm drawing a blank today.
It's a Wonderful
it's
Life.
Like that all day. Yeah. They do an It's a Wonderful Life as a radio play on stage, here. And, I haven't had a chance to go because every time it's happened, I've been out of town, which is really annoying. Ironically, I would love to just tune into it, but I can't because it's not a radio show on the air. Frustration.
I love radio shows on stage, by the way. My sister-in-law, before she was my sister-in-law, did one that I went to, and it was so good. And, of course, they ended it with Abbott and Costello's Who's On First, which I lose it every time. Every time. It gets funnier every time you listen to that. But that I love that. There are so many of us out there that want more of this audio theater. You know, there's something liberating about using, as they say, the theater of the mind, because your imagination is going to be better than any sets anyone can build. And there's so much more that you can do, but also it opens up actors to more roles. This was something that Chris Morse of Supervillain Corner had said when he was on our show years ago, is that as a working actor, he struggled to find a lot of roles because he had to not just be able to act the role, but he had to fit the body type. He had to fit the what you were looking for visually. Whereas with audio drama, it doesn't matter what you look like. You can play all the roles. And yeah.
Yeah, there's an OTR show. I'm trying to figure if I can find it here on my phone, but here it is, Breaking Walls. So what's interesting about Breaking Walls is it is a lot of examination of old OTR, old-time radio. And what's neat about it is the producer of that also finds old interviews with the actors and the producers and the writers, and then kind of clips those together in the longer show. So you've got this whole behind-the-scenes kind of thing of hearing them talk about the different characters they've done. It's like, I played an old woman this day, and I played a young woman this next one. I played twins, and I killed myself. And, I played somebody from Europe. I played somebody from Jersey. I played somebody from, you know, wherever. And voice is a lot more mutable than visual as well. So while we, you know, maybe into the deep fake world of recreating any actor as any other person, I still think that they kind of got to do that on audio drama so much more efficiently. And then you have some people like Jay, you know, can do 1,000 voices. And then there's Vincent Price, who only ever does one voice, but God, is it great to hear every single time he does it.
Every time.
He can do it in various states of inebriation, mind you, but that's what, like, the only change he seemed to inject.
Yeah.
So Jay, what is it like doing a whole scene, all you, but multiple characters?
Well, depends on if dialogue between the two characters or three or four. The more you add, obviously, the harder it is. And I don't know. I've been pretty fortunate that I've practiced enough doing it various voices that when I draw the scene, I can pretty much do it, at least for Buffy anyway. When I was doing the movie ones, I had the advantage of posting it later so I could work on doing it. And if I would screw up and confuse the voice, it wasn't so bad. I could go back and fix it. So, but it's hard.
So you prefer to do it live and just switch voices in conversation?
Yeah, I'd rather do it all in one run through.
Wow.
Rather than do it in cuts.
Going back and forth between voices, I think for me personally might be tricky because anyone that's ever played tabletop or watched me play tabletop, if I try to do a voice, I often forget what the voice is halfway through the game.
I have well-established characters, yeah, though, right? Yeah. So just to get into that mindset, I'm going to be a little belly from down the block.
It's, you know, that's just what he is. And every line that little Billy's going to say is going to sound just like that.
And switching over and back and forth, as long as I've got that picture in my mind of the two characters talking back and forth, I can make a go of it.
So
I remember some advice from a voice actor that I was watching once, and he said the best thing you should do is when you develop these voices, then give them names, because it right. gives you a label you mm-hmm. can hang on to, as opposed to, you know, that guy I did in that skit that one time. It's like, you no, know, no, that was George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All my characters have a run-in line that puts me in that character. It's like Manchek is, mob boss is bull
taco.
As soon as I say that, I can do the mob boss and I know how he's supposed to sound. And,
you know, so if I've lost it when I'm trying to do something that I can cut together, I can, you know, go back, especially if it's like a really long two paragraph part for that character. Like, yeah, I can forget who I'm doing, or I'll slide into another character. Half of it will be Scottish and the other half will turn into being French, and I don't know why I made the switch, and you know, I'm trying to figure it out. And
see, Peter, now you need the challenge of having one character imitating the other. It's like Menchek pulling off a Scottish accent.
Yeah, that's the tricky one. And
Peter Jurasik, the guy that played Londo on Babylon 5, always had problems getting into character until he said the name Mr. Garibaldi, and then he was in character and he was good. And
so before he would get on set, he would get ready and he would go, "My good friend, Mr. Garibaldi," and then he was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Having that prompt line, I think, really helps set it in the mind of what that character is and to go forward. Doing 17 different characters being pulled, I don't think I could have done it all. Just pulling them from the hat and doing it at random, being able to pick the scene and kind of work on it on the side, not live, I think was the only way I got it done.
So what we're referencing, if you weren't listening to all of the episodes of Jay's Masterpiece Audio Theater, for 90 days, he did various movie scenes with various characters, and then people would have to write in and guess what the movie was. And for the last, was it 30 or 60 days, you were having the listeners suggest people.
Yeah.
Suggest voices. Yeah. And that's when I named one of your voices.
Yep. Bruv, you know what, bruv?
I did like bruv. He came out when you were chatting with your wife and I said, oh, when are we going to add bruv to the mix? And not exactly directly from a Dog Days production, but you got the character of Pierre from another Dog Days person.
Yeah, that Pierre was the shrimp on the treadmill of life for Melissa Bartel.
I am just a French shrimp. I am walking slowly on the treadmill of life. Forward, ever forward, one foot after the other.
Yeah, she had a great whole, like, thing there.
There was a time for Melissa that I had to do a parrot that had learned to speak Francais. So I did it in my best impersonation of my mother's accent. And then he had to swear, but I will not do the swear on the Twitch. But he swore à Francais.
Ooh.
Oh.
Sacrilegious.
Yeah. That was fun. I've only played one animal, and that was a cat, so didn't quite count.
That was so good, though. Hello.
Hello.
God, that was 20 years ago now.
I thought it was 40.
300 years ago.
Many moons ago.
Yes, yes.
So we've gone around and we've talked about, I wrote down notes of everything I wanted to talk about, and we've ticked them all off. There's only one left.
Mm-hmm.
Only one thing before I think of something else, but I really, really, really got to talk about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh yeah.
There is no more formative audio drama in my brain that has formed me into the person I am than this. It is just, I read the book first. I was nearly beaten to death by a bookstore salesman for not having read it before. So I devoured, you know, the trilogy in five parts. Loved it. And then found out later, you know, I read the books, then I watched the BBC miniseries, then I listened to the audio play.
and it permanently sits on a cell phone or a drive somewhere, and any long road trip when Nutty falls asleep, I will throw on The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and just listen to that and laugh myself stupid while driving down the highway. I love that audio drama so much. It is so pointless, so stupid, so silly, and so, so, so good.
So good.
I mean, it's really funny. That's one of the few cases, too, where the transition to TV, they used most of the same actors. Mm. And in part because they didn't have to look like anything. They were just the characters that were in the book, and they weren't really described aside from one of them having two heads.
And three arms. He grew it for you.
Actually, that kind of reminds me of the Big Finish Audio stuff, which is a production company in the UK that does a lot of audio drama, specifically kind of taking classic BBC series and adding more to them.
Doctor Who.
The one that's the biggest one. That's the biggest one, Doctor Who, and getting a lot of the original actors as well to be involved. But they've also done Torchwood. They've done Unit. They've done all those other spin-off series. They've done a Dalek series. But they also done I think it was the classic Avengers. I think they did a version of that series. Mm. They've even had spin-offs of companions that they created of the Doctors that are only their characters that have spun off under their own series within there. I will say the BBC still has a very strong tradition of audio drama and is one of the leading kind of examples of it around the world still. I kind of wish the CBC would follow suit still. I don't know if anybody remembers years ago, on CBC on the morning program, I forget the name of the program. It was something funny, but not funny, but something like The Signal. It was a simple little name, but they had the announcer who was a character and they did a sort of character bit with the announcer
for like 30 seconds at the start of every show.
Exactly.
Yeah. They were so good.
And they had just these little weird little audio drama moments that were there, and they were just a delightful way to just sort of enliven things up a little bit. They could be serious, but most of the time they were just this weird kind of half pun experience.
And then he retired.
Probably.
I think they retired
the segment for sure.
Yeah. No, it was the actor himself. It was that voice. The Current.
That's it.
Was the name of the show. The
and
Current.
I think he was called The Voice too, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he ended up, I was actually working for you in New Brunswick at the time. We had a conversation about it because it was like the skit that morning was him saying his goodbyes because he was done. He retired.
Yeah.
You made me think of, there's very similar to Big Finish. There was a podcast group and I can't, in my head, I'm thinking Great Big C. No, that's not it. That's
a band.
But they were the ones that, they were recording and putting out Conan the Barbarian. And the new movie was coming out. And that was one of those, it was in the public domain, but not in one country. And because of that, they had to stop doing the podcast. Do you remember the name of that?
Broken Sea Audio.
That's it, Broken Sea.
I did cheat and look it up, but I was a part of that group for a little while.
Yeah, they put out some amazing things. And I met a couple of people from them, and all of them are just fantastic people, just great people. But they put out some really good things, including, I think it was them, where they did a crossover where it was based on the comics, but it was Doctor Who and Star Trek. There was like this rift in space and the Daleks were coming and the Borg were coming. And it was like this big, tense battle. It was awesome. That was like early, early podcasting days. But
I'm trying to remember if that was the same group that there was one actor who they had. I think it was Mark Brzee who had worked for Darker. What was it called?
Darker Projects. Was that it?
Darker Projects.
Yeah.
And they had a Doctor Who show, and then they crossed over, and the Doctor, he also played a character in the Star Trek show.
Yeah.
And at one
point,
the two characters met. I seem to recall. So he's literally talking to himself at that point.
Were they the ones that did the audio drama with Mackenzie Calhoun? That's the other one I'm remembering. There were so many good audio dramas in the early days of podcasting. And I'm not saying that they're gone. They're definitely not gone, but it feels like they're not as prominent now.
What's great is that if you have a phone, you have all the equipment you need.
It's true.
And you're done.
Especially now.
Yeah. You don't need a You don't need a recording studio. You don't need cameras. You don't need a special effects budget. You don't need much computer experience. I mean, the editing can be tricky, but you can figure it out. The editing software, I mean, you can use Audacity and it's free, GarageBand. There's no budget. And what I love about that is that it doesn't mean that we're beholden to giant studios to produce the media for us. Anyone who wants to create can create. So the amount of Canadian content that we have seen in the audio drama world,
especially in podcasting,
and the, you know, Canadian podcasters who don't have to wait for big budget studios to sort of notice them, they can just sort of do what they want. Another name that I have to bring up is, we got to talk about Red Panda.
Yeah, Dakota Ring Theater.
I knew you were going to mention that.
Dakota Ring Theater.
Which we're going to get Greg Taylor on the show at some point because he's been putting out children's books, and I really want him to get those in print too because I want to buy them for my nibblings. But yeah, he's still putting out audio drama. You've got all the years of the Red Panda. You've got all the years of Blackjack Justice. And now there's stuff that's really good for the younger grades. With Abigail Brennigan, Girl Detective, and Bix Banderson, Space Ranger. And the cool part is his kids are providing voices. So it's always been like a slightly in-house family thing. You know, Greg used his voice in writing and producing, but his wife was also involved and many of his friends that he knew from the theater. And now, and they had kids while they were putting stuff out, and now their kids are old enough that their kids are acting in these audio dramas.
That's
it
so
is
cool.
Wild.
That's so cool.
And if you haven't listened to them, you really need to.
Yeah. To anyone listening to this, if you're a fan of those old 1930s style shows, you know, the Shadow, and that, take a listen to Dakota Ring Theater, because he's got a really good voice, and two, he nails the style. Pretty well.
If I may, you can capture that style and that feeling that you like, but with some slightly updated sensibilities. Like, you don't have to go, okay, I'm going to try to ignore some of the things that they're saying because it was made in the 30s and people were stupid. Those things aren't part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a really breath of fresh air.
I really enjoyed for the seasons that I listened to that he managed to tiptoe completely around World War II.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, 1930s, this episode takes place in Germany, and we're just going to completely dance around a whole bunch of problematic things we don't want to talk about right now.
But
the Dakota Ring Theater stuff in particular was done in a very minimalist style too. So he didn't have, and I remember hearing an interview he did with Jack Ward of the Sonic Society, where he talked about the process and the decision that it's like, I'm not going to have every footstep included. I'm not going to have the doors included. I'm not, you know, if I need a sound effect that is there, I'm going to include it, but it's going to be very rare. And the nice thing about that is it keeps the production a lot more manageable, but you do have to do a bit more work in terms of making sure people understand what's going on through just dialogue. I'm a little bit more nuts than that. I like to have a full scene, and that's why I've had an audio drama that's been sitting on the shelf for about a year now that I haven't finished, because I'm not satisfied with the sound effects I included. But the reason I want to mention that too is that the Leviathan Chronicles is just now starting to do its releases, and that's one of those really high quality, very intense special effect, original music, everything kind of created for it. It's really nice to see it come back. It's been, I think, almost a decade. It's probably not been that long, but it feels like a decade. It's been 50 years since he did his last, since his last episode. And for a lot of time, we didn't know if the story was going to finish or not, but I'm very happy to see that launch again.
Have you guys listened to the Black Tapes? And, the Black Tapes is really good. And Rabbits, there was another one too that was great.
Well, there's the one everybody's screaming, like, how did they not mention Welcome to Night Vale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Black Tapes, like, that company has put out like four or five podcasts at this point. Alice Isn't Dead is a really neat one from them.
Yeah.
The Black Tapes, I'm trying to remember, because there's another one that I absolutely love, and they haven't put out an episode for ages. And well,
Rabbits
kind of annoyed.
Is one of them.
Rabbits is one of the newer ones, yeah.
Yeah, and they haven't put one out for that for a long time, too. I also listened to Wolverine. which was really good. And that one was almost like an X-Files crossover with X-Men. It was kind of cool.
Tannis. That was what I was trying to remember.
Tannis. Yeah.
And Within the Wires, which is a very experimental one, which was done. Each season is a different era in this world. And one of the seasons, it's almost always, actually, I think you're always a single narrator, but one of them is, these are audio letters I'm sending. This one is, these are our wiretaps we've done. This one is, I'm trying to remember, there was one which was a series, the first one I think was a series of motivational tapes for an inmate in a mental asylum telling him how to escape because everything around him was fake, essentially. It was delightful. Archive 81 needs to be mentioned, which was initially the setup was a person in a room with all these tapes he has to archive. So he's playing them one by one. They're slowly playing each tape he plays is a different scene, perhaps even with different characters, all kind of combining together to a story. And later on, he becomes the tapes or they become him. And so the second season is a very different things you couldn't do in video. Things are even hard to do in books because in books you have, the words on the page, but they don't have the emotion. They don't have the interrupt. They don't have the flow that can be done in audio, which is why I still believe it very strongly in that medium.
So, you mentioned the tapes and how it doesn't work in a book, and sometimes it can, but one of the things that I found really cool was, when I finally did read Margaret Atwood's, Handmaiden's Tale, the story is that what you're reading are the tales that are recounted into a cassette, taping over other things on this cassette. And this is where this historical information has come from. And the audio version of the book, they've added in the version I listened to, they added extra, like, you know, like as her things are finishing out, you hear what was originally on the tape.
Oh, that's cool.
And you're able to add more flavor. And they also added an extra scene, at the end. And it was people at a symposium, 100 years later, reviewing these tapes and looking back on the history of Gilead and what was it actually like? And what can we know about this narrator? And questioning it in an academic scene, which I just was like, this is amazing. This is so cool. And so I love being able to add a little bit of that extra theater.
Well, it's a medium you can manipulate. I mean, we can, there is definitely, again, kind of like Red Panda, where it's basically actors performing. There's not really much for sound effects. There's not really much and just dialogue, but there's so much more possibility that they can do with it. I mean, first of all, like I said, you can add more sound effects and music and all that, but then you can play with the medium. And you can play with the layers of the medium and how it gets transmitted. And then you mentioned the black tapes. And the cool thing about the black tapes is it's trying to kind of portray a reality. So all the acting is very underplayed for the most part. And then they have these additional tapes that they play, which have audio that can be expressed. And oftentimes they're being played while the actors are watching them. So they're reacting to them as well. So you have two layers going on at that point. At one point in the storyline, they even have things which are, there's the unsound, which is this mythical creation that a sound could undo the universe. Well, they accidentally played it 4 episodes ago. They're like, wait. And the show is sort of self-conscious about the idea that it is a podcast that's happening now. So again, it's kind of playing with this notion of, is it real?
Yeah.
And if you buy into that fiction even a little bit, it becomes really quite fascinating.
Agreed. So, Jay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk a little bit about our upcoming project?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So one of the reasons we're really hooking into this, audio drama topic is the four of us and other really talented people are working on an upcoming audio drama. And Jay, why don't you give us a little bit about that? Cause you are our producer, our director. Yeah.
Casting agent,
producer. I hope to bring the writer on as the director because, Gary, the guy who wrote the, script, he does theater direction here in Airdrie, and in Calgary too. So since COVID's happened, he's been restricted from all the volunteering and all the stuff that he was doing. And he actually had a play at Burt Church Theater here in Airdrie. I think it was Alice in Wonderland. And they were maybe 2 weeks into full out shows when everything got shut down. And the other thing that he does, part-time volunteer work for himself, is he works at Heritage Park. He's the mayor, and his wife is like the wife to the mayor at Heritage Park. And that's another attraction we have in Calgary, which is all old homesteads and buildings from the 1900s and earlier, you know, as much as they could recreate. And it's got streets and, you know, a mill and everything. It's a recreation.
It's like Black Creek, King's Landing, Old Williamsburg, Bethpage Park, you know, things like that.
For sure. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, so he writes plays for that stuff too that gets presented to the public. And so since he doesn't have that, he's looking for another outlet. And so he's written Mercy Me Hospital. And I think it's pretty funny.
It is pretty.
It's written in an old timey comedic sort of way.
Oh, I love it. It cracks me up. There's so many puns. There's so many little tropes.
It reminds me of like just a really long version of that veterinarian's hospital skit from the old Muppet Show. You know,
that's true. That's definitely what Tech and I are channeling in our parts.
Tune in next week, and you'll hear Dr. Bob say. Everyone looks up to see where this is coming from. You know,
and
yeah, for sure,
I'm excited because NCAF. This is something where you and I are working on, and you're not the narrator.
That's true.
For a long time, he was typecast as the narrator.
I even typecast myself as the narrator, to be honest. But no, it's fun because it's a comedic role, and I get to chew the scenery a little bit and play with doing a very, fairly different voice. I don't do a lot of voice work these days, although I say that I'm involved in three projects currently, so go figure.
And you do voices in all of your role-playing, so your tabletop.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my main outlet right now is just bringing characters to life in gaming. But I've done little bits. I've done like a lot of little bits and pieces here and there. You know, the unnamed character number three or that guy that nobody remembers.
Well, just, hey, guest one was a huge role. And for a few years, you know, a regular live character.
Yeah, well, it was,
spoilers,
yeah, a buddy of mine did a radio show.
You've just outed who guest one was.
Well, yeah. I haven't been guest one for a while now, but unfortunately, because the way that everything's working. But yeah, I mean, the idea of coming up with a character and just kind of projecting a different character and trying to figure out what that character was. I mean, that's where, what was it? Cthulhu Shark with an Arm? Was that the name of the skit that I did one time? I don't know. It's weird stuff that comes out. But yeah, like I mean, getting a chance to do comedy is nice. Not having to write it myself, that's also nice.
Mm. Yeah, I appreciate that very, very much. Not having to write it.
So I got a question for everybody.
Okay.
Is there a book, a movie, a TV show, a video game, a piece of media out there that you would like to see continued, or you'd like to see a version of it as an audio drama? You don't have to write it or act in it yourself. It's just, do you wish that it existed in an audio format?
Firefly.
Just because we want more Firefly.
Well, honestly, I think that'd be
the best way. Well, there was Firefly Old Wounds,
way.
Which was the, yeah. That was the fan created one, which was very well done.
It was really well done. As a matter of fact, there are some things from Firefly Old Wounds that are part of my headcanon for the Firefly crew, for sure. But I think that's really the only way something old like that can come back. But I think I'd also really love a Kolchak series.
There was a Kolchak series for a while.
An audio series?
I forget
series?
Who was putting it out. Yeah, I forget who was putting that one out.
I need to find that.
It was much better than the reimagined TV series, let's put it that way.
Oof.
Let's keep in mind the original TV series wasn't,
Don't you dare.
You shut your mouth.
Hey, I remember that headless guy on the motorcycle. That's what it's I remember.
Fantastic. I have that on DVD. Man, that's tough because, you know, some of my dreams have come true with the Doctor Who stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat a little bit, because my memory is terrible, but I do remember that you mentioned Babylon 5 not too long ago.
Ooh.
And I feel that there's a lot more in that universe that could be done.
Oh, yeah.
Several of the actors unfortunately passed away, but that big universe really could deserve another deep story.
There's so many stories to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, just a Minbari story alone, just following that culture and kind of learning more about it, or the Narn or the Centauri. Yeah, I was a big Babylon 5 fan, as you can tell. Is the only thing I can remember is all the racism
and Babylon and Bill 5. Bill Mumy's daughter is now acting. So you're telling me we couldn't get like a Child of Lanier?
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And tell more stories that way.
That'd be awesome, actually.
Now I want more Babylon 5.
Well, you know, that's
and I don't want to go watch Crusader.
This is one of the things that I do love about audio drama, and there's been a whole, it's kind of cooled down a little bit, I think, right now, but starting kind of the right around the same time podcasting itself kind of started, there was a large number of companies that said, you know, we've always wanted to do a Star Trek series. It doesn't seem to be anything on for a while. Let's do our own. Let's do, you know, our own imagination of Star Doctor Trek, Who. Let's do our own imagination of Star Wars, even.
What was the name of that Star Trek one that came out in the early days of podcasting and they got a lot of the original people? And they had one episode where what's his name who plays Chekhov comes on and plays the old version of Chekhov.
Koenig?
Yeah, oh, Walter Koenig.
Was that the video project?
Yes, video project. But it was like early days of podcasting, so there was a lot of like crossover going on. You know, back when people didn't think a YouTube show was a podcast. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I forget exactly which one that one was, because there have been a lot of them. But I mean, that's something where I've been kind of happy to see that. I've been kind of happy to see the continuation. I'm trying to remember because Darker Projects did another one, which was a continuation. I can't remember what it was. There's another series I want to mention from them, though, is the Byron Chronicles. That was a massive, beautiful, completely original character played by David Ault, who also played an extraordinarily good Doctor.
I was going to say, that's Doctor Who.
Yeah, David he played Ault, great Doctor Who voice. At one point. But the Byron character is a wonderful, original, era-spanning, bizarre, world-ending kind of show. I think he fights Santa Claus at least twice, too, in some of the Christmas episodes.
Yeah. And I recently became a fan of The Prisoner, and I say recently within the last 5 years. And
ten years.
No, it was within the last 5 years. Because
you only became a fan of The Prisoner when we were in Borden.
Yeah. That's when I watched it for the first time. Yeah.
I don't believe you. But go ahead.
Anyway, Big Finish has put out an audio drama of The Prisoner as well. So like for everybody that wanted more Prisoner. There you go. Because it only lasted one season.
We're looking at you, Shane.
Well, Shane's got it already.
Okay. There you go. How about you, Jay? Is there a project out there that you'd like to see in audio form?
Well, see, I've seen, you know what I'd really like? And it was an old radio drama series. I don't know how it was distributed, but I got it in audiobook form. And it was Knights of the Old Republic. And it was Jedi Knight stories about them just battling the dark side and other things, righting wrongs and, you know, the sheriffs of the galaxy, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they had the whole story of Naomi Sunrider and Kip Duran and this dark side thing. And, you know, it has all the elements of Star Wars and the Jedi minus the Skywalkers, minus Darth Vader. Like none of that has happened yet. That has nothing to do with it, right?
The Old Republic has so many stories they could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like awesome stuff, you know, like, I know that playing with, adding android parts, but you know, characters who, end horribly in a battle, but get rebuilt and they, you know, they're trying to survive and cope with all of these,
I would love to hear just one episode. If somebody could do a thing with HK-47, because he is just the most hilarious character of all time. The whole story of Revan. I really think if they do more movies, and why wouldn't they? Star Wars is just a giant printing press for money, for Disney right now. Do the story of Revan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll watch it. Hey, Shane.
I think Shane's ears were burning because he just popped into the chat. We were just talking about you, Shane, and The Prisoner.
Okay, so the one I got a deep cut, something that I'd like to hear in audio, was a book I read in high school called Flowers for Algernon.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you want us to cry?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Because the movie, they did a movie of it called Charlie, and the movie is god-awful. And I think that if you didn't have the visuals It's the story of a guy with an intellectual disability who undergoes a medical treatment and he undergoes a change. And the beauty of the book is that the book is written like his diary. So at the start, because of his intellectual differences, the book is written very sloppily with bad grammar and spelling mistakes, and it's super hard to read. And as he becomes smarter and smarter through the book, it becomes equally hard to read because now he's above you on the plane, and he's writing it at like doctoral, like university level, and you can't understand anything through that part of the book either. And it would be, I think, very challenging to do in audio, to do it respectfully.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think you would need to have a cast of, or at least, a cast member with intellectual difficulties mm-hmm. to sort of put it out there, but I think it would be super hard to do, but it would be so much more rewarding than that horrible, horrible movie my English teacher made me watch.
Well, and we all know that, like, yeah, let's cast people of the demographic we're trying to portray. Mm-hmm. So, that sounds perfect to me. The thing I was thinking about, and I didn't read this book series, but I know you loved it, and I know Liz loved it. I Want to Go Home.
Gordon Corman.
Yes. How do you think that would fare as an audio drama?
Oh, do the Bruno and Boots series as an audio drama. I think if you could find a group of kids.
People that sound like kids.
Or some people who, no, I would do it with kids.
With kids? Okay.
With kids. If you had a group of kids, those stories are so fun and so crazy, they'd be really hard to do on TV. You know, you'd need, people with shotguns shooting at kids, shinnying up drain pipes.
Yeah, because you can't show that stuff.
No.
But in audio, it's fine.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I grew up reading these books. I think I was the same age as Gordon Corman was when he wrote the books when I started reading them. I don't know, deep cut for anybody who's not Canadian, but the two other Canadian guys here in the room.
They look clueless.
Have you guys ever read these books? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I don't think so, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay. So, Gordon Corman started writing these books when he was 12 years old. It's the story of, it's a long-running book series of two boys at an all-boys boarding school, and the principal's named Mr. Sturgeon, that they call the Fish. They hate him, and they are just going around behind his back trying to do whatever they want. Their two best friends are two girls that are at the all-girls boarding school across the highway. So every night they and they're 12, so there's nothing sexual or romantic going on. It's just their two best friends live across the highway. And then they go and they get into hijinks and shenanigans and stuff gets stolen and, they have to rig contests. And anyway, it is a hilarious book series. Really fun YA stuff. Could be a really good audio drama. I don't know. Somebody ring up Gord. See what he's doing. Hey, Gord!
So Shane says, the world record for audio drama is The Archers. A daily audio...
Yes.
So you know of it. A daily audio soap opera with over 19,000 episodes on BBC Radio 4.
19,000.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, so the one thing I remember about visiting my grandparents is it would always be on at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and we'd sit at the table, drink tea, and eat digestive biscuits, Diggy Biggies, and listen to The Archers. And it's a soap opera. It's awesome. And I meant to bring that up earlier, but then the conversation moved on forward.
Started in 1951. So
wow.
It's had a head start on all of us.
That's fantastic. By the way, what you just described there, Jay, some people may sounds like the oldest thing they've ever heard. I think that sounds like a good time.
Well, and it wasn't even. I went and visited my grandparents the last time in 2016, 2017. So, and it was then, it was even then it was on and we sat around the table. It's still going today.
Digestive cookies and tea. Awesome.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah. Delicious.
Here's the problem though. How do you catch up?
Yeah, there's no catching up.
You just slide in.
I mean,
jumping in. Any soap opera.
Yeah, it's a soap opera. So there's no need to catch up.
My mother and my sister are obsessed with a soap opera from England called Coronation Street.
Yes.
And Coronation Street's been going on since before color television. And and they drop in and drop out, and then it's like, oh, so what happened with this person? What happened with that person? And you get caught up in about 15 minutes, and then you can just listen. and their watch and see what's going on.
I'm sure people will correct me, but I do believe one of the few soap operas in the United States that has been going on since before color television is General Hospital. There may be others, though. But yeah, Coronation Street is legendary. And, you know, Craig Charles is on it from Red Dwarf. Yeah. And that makes everything better, right?
Do you remember that time David Lister could actually act?
I just want to circle back real quick. Mercy Me will be coming out eventually. We have no dates for you, but stay tuned. And if you're listening to this feed, I'm going to try and drop it in this feed when the first episode goes out. That is for sure. And a recent audio drama I've been in, I'm going to promote, is Vampire Needed. And that was put out by Michael Corley and Gus Grappin. And that was a lot of fun.
I know those people.
You do know. You know probably about 2/3 of the cast as well.
Neat.
Yes. So anybody have any audio dramas that are recent within the last year that you'd like to plug?
I currently am playing the role of the Emperor in The Decadence of Borrowed Silk. It's another production from 13 Nocturne Boulevard. Fortunately, the character didn't appear until the 5th episode, so I was able to jump in. Those have all been, they're currently being released, I think, once a month. I may be appearing in, 2 other projects. Julie is very, convincing, I guess you might say. So there might be another project that'll be approaching from there. And if I get off my butt and become a little more comfortable with my sound effects, I'll be releasing an audio drama of my own that I produced last summer. Called What Was It? It is, or actually, it's technically What Was It Recreated. I was challenged to recreate an episode from, The Weird Circle, from 1943, I think it was. And I said, well, I could just reproduce this word for word or not. And so I completely rewrote the script, and then recorded it last year, did, most of it, and then have been kind of unwilling, unready to go back and finish off the sound effects.
Wasn't that originally supposed to be part of Summer Stock audio theater for Sonic Society?
For 2019, yeah.
Yes, for 2019.
And here we're, you know, halfway through the summer of 2020. But yeah, it was, I lost my editor, the person who was going to be doing the editing. So I had to do it myself. And that just meant that with all the other things I was doing, I just didn't have time to devote to it. So
I hate editing.
Yeah, I'm very picky when I do my own editing for this sort of thing. So, I got local folks to come in, none of which were, I think any of them were actors, which was even more fun. And then they would put it together. I'd been doing some original audio drama or trying to do some at the radio station I work at. And, I had mixed success in getting people recruited to do it. So I ended up writing a bunch of scripts myself. I've got a 10-part series at some point I want to produce and then like 3 or 4 other scripts, but I don't know if they'll ever see the light of day.
Hopefully.
I'm trying to shame myself into getting at least this one done by telling everybody else about it.
And, if anybody wants to hear what, Mark has been on recently, it's actually 19 Nocturne Boulevard, 19nocturneboulevard.net. He said 13, but that's okay.
Send us to the neighbor's house. That's fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
They know who Julie is. Just ask.
Julie Hoverson, who is like, you know, audio drama queen. Jay, is there anything that you want to promote?
Yeah, for sure. We are going to be doing Mercy Me, and I'm going to start putting down the pressure here to get people to get their lines in. I want to get a couple episodes of that going. But Buffy the Mad TV Mayhem.
Yeah, that is audio drama.
Yeah, like I'm performing scenes from the show, and
every
I get the
week.
Characters at random, so it all depends on who we get, who we pull from the hat is how it's going to sound.
If I may, so far you have picked like all of my favorite episodes.
Well, how many are the not your favorite? That's the question.
true. Well, you haven't picked Where the Wild Things Are, so we're good.
Yeah, well, I have them all pre-selected. There's 30 episodes total, and I picked all my favorites, so we'll see how that works.
I'm guessing Hush isn't one of them.
What's that?
Hush would be hard.
I'm guessing Hush isn't one of them.
No kidding.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Like 30 seconds of silence, guess the episode.
I could do the audio for that one. It's amazing.
Well, he managed to do all the characters in those 30 seconds. Didn't you hear it?
So the whole team
got involved.
Why don't you tell people, and that'll just roll us into a promotion for yourself. Why don't you tell people where they can listen to your audio drama?
Well, they can find us at nimlast.org. Nutty is hosting us and letting us play in her backyard, and that's where we're dropping our episodes. And I have 90 episodes that I did for the Dog Days of Quarantine, which is a ton of movie scenes, and that game was lots of fun, and there was some funny stuff in there. I had to do some singing for a couple of them.
The singing was so much fun for us, at least. And if you do go to nimlast.org, you can get a completely separate audio feed for Jay's episode. So, you know, you don't have to cross the streams or anything.
So if you're listening to this, you don't have to listen to this.
Well, if you're listening to this, you're not getting Jay's episodes because we're not on the same feed. So, NCAF, why don't you tell people where they can find your audio musings?
Well, I tend to throw my mind at the wall and see what sticks on a daily basis. I call that wandering out loud. Episode 679 just went up, I think, of my 30-day challenge. You'll find that at encaffeinated.ca, encaffeinated. If you can't spell that, encaf.ca should also get you there.
Excellent. So thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it, especially because some of us have gone into non-air conditioned environments to do so. So you guys all should get extra scoops of ice cream tonight. So thank you for that. But thank you for joining us. So if you're listening to this, why don't you tell us what are some of your favorite audio dramas and what are the audio dramas that mean something to you? Thanks so much. Talk to everyone later. Bye. We wanted to take this time to thank our patrons. Without them, we wouldn't be able to offer you 2 episodes a month, and we wouldn't be able to pay for our server fees and all of the other things. So thank you so much to all of those patrons. And I especially want to thank everyone for just joining us and staying along. I know that, Dog Days, we had a lot of shorter episodes, but now that we've got this full episode, and I hope that you're ready to get back into the swing of things with regular episodes with the rest of us. But we want to say thank you so much to Aaron Jackson. We want to thank Jason. We want to thank Rich the TT, who is now at the Big Daddy level of patronage. Thank you so much. And we also want to thank our $5 patrons of Mark Cabot, the Encaffeinated One, Susanna, and all of our other patrons, because we value you at every single level. So thank you so much to Lynette, Andy, Shane, Hugh, the Radical Geek. And Hugh, by the way, is new. So thank you so much. Welcome aboard. The Radical Geek, Justine, Mike, Steve, Kinsey, Ken, Greg, Patrick, Will, Ian, Harold, Melissa, Susan, Uncle Monster, and Zachman. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support and your patronage. And remember, if you have something that you would like to promote and you want that promo played on this podcast, please send it my way and I'll throw it on the podcast for you. Thank you.
Come one, come all, gather round, gather round. Check out the all-new Mega Podtastic Podcast. These guys are better than paper or plastic. They're absolutely fantastic.
What makes these guys fantastic?
What makes them fantastic, you ask? Do you like movies?
Yeah, I like movies.
Do you like television?
Yeah, I like television.
What about pop culture?
Who doesn't like pop culture?
Well, you're all in luck, because this show is weekly, and trust me, I'm not being cheeky.
Do they talk about Muppets?
Are you kidding? With Crazy Joe involved, you can't stop that guy from talking Muppets. That's not all.
There's more.
You betcha. Celebrity guests and interviews, just to name a few.
Are they famous?
Famous? Well, they were nominated 3 times for a Parsec Award.
They won a Parsec Award?
No, but it's an honor just to be nominated.
How do I find these guys?
They can be found at megapodtastic.com and youtube.com/megapodtastic.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.